Amen. So let's thank the Lord. Lord, just what a blessing all of that was this morning, Lord God. Thank you for using this team, though it may seem small, to do powerful things and even to bring a message from North America to Central America, restoring a pastor to his position, Lord. So we thank you this morning, Lord. Speak to us through Revelation 10, Lord. We know that you have a great message, and we ask you to speak to our hearts and use everything we've already heard to feed into what you want us to glean from this. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing how God just uses. Like, I'm listening. This is the message. This is the message. You know, it's awesome. Today's message is actually called The Bittersweet Word. The Bittersweet Word. Have you ever been in a bittersweet situation, you know, where it seems real good, but then turns out not to be so much? I remember years and years and years ago, Jill and I were either engaged or we were just married, but I won a sales contest for the company I work for. And the award was, they gave you a free dinner at the Four Seasons Hotel restaurant. Now, I don't know what the restaurant's like now. I kind of tried to Google it and check it out. But back then, anyone remember the Four Seasons Hotel? I mean, it was like top of the line, you know. And so I earned this reward to take Jill and I down to this restaurant. And so, it was unlimited, the amount we could spend. So, of course, you know, they never gave me anything. So I'm like, I'm taking advantage of this. So we go down to the restaurant, like, you know, appetizers, you know, big shrimp cocktail, you know. I mean, it's like huge shrimp, you know. And then the salad, you know, they're making the Caesar salad next to your table, and we're eating that. And then we probably, I don't remember, ordered filet mignon, maybe even surf and turf if we were really obnoxious, you know, whatever we did. We just, and then at the end, the desserts. We probably ordered about four desserts. Do you remember this, Jill? I didn't give her a pre-warning. And we're like, we're tasting all of them and just loading up, you know. And so it was just so amazing. We would never spend this much on a meal. I still wouldn't. And yet, that evening, I found myself around the porcelain throne, wishing I had stopped long before that last chocolate, whatever it was, that put me over the edge. You know what I mean? And it started off as something so sweet and good and ended up being something so bitter, literally, in my stomach, you know? Because, you know, what can be sweet in the beginning can turn out bitter. And we know many verses probably come to your mind about how sin is tasty and sweet in the beginning. It's a temporary sweetness. And yet, when we consume sin, eventually it leads to spiritual sickness and even spiritual death sometimes, you know. And so, when we think of the word, as we were singing, you know, the word is sweet to the believer. You ever notice the further you are from God, the sweeter sin tastes? It's so sweet. It's so tasty. You just can't get enough, you know, until you find yourself sick around the porcelain toilet. But when you're close with God, his word is sweet. The love of God is sweet. The love of the saints is so sweet. The closer you are to God, it's just, wow, this is awesome, you know? And you just want more and more. David said, your word is like honey to my lips. You know, it's so important to enjoy God's word. I go to Pep Boys a lot. I'm sure you do too. And I have like a fleet of cars for all my kids, you know what I mean? And we have old cars, so they're always braking and this and that. And so I'm on the Pep Boys reward program, okay? And so, you know, I get coupons, but invariably when I need the tires, when I need the battery, somehow I either can't find the coupon or it's expired. It always expired like a month before. I'm like, ah, like why didn't I hold on to this and spend it when I had it, you know? And a lot of times the word is so sweet. It's so necessary. But if we don't act on it responsibly, if we don't act on it swiftly, it can become bitter later. It's like, oh, that reminder. Oh, I didn't obey. You know, the word is always trying to refine us. And it warns us of many things about sin and so forth. But it also promises us so many things. And as I was thinking about this, you know, if the Lord is telling us through his word to do something, James 4:13 says, if you know what to do, which is right, and don't do it, it is sin for you, you know. It's important for us to act on the word of God and use it when he's giving it to us. To tell, because in the end, we are the essence of God, are we not? We are the essence of God. We are the living God. We possess the living God, the word of God in us. And we may be, you've heard this saying before, the only Bible someone ever reads. So it's important for us to receive the word of God and act on it and live it out in animated form, to live out the word of God. Because most people we meet will never read it. They can only read it by your life. So how many people would prefer reading a good book? Let's see a show of hands. Wow, there's a lot of us, of you, I mean. Look around, they're the smart people, okay? Raise your hands again. So I guess the rest of us are a good movie, you know? You know, I mean, there's benefits to all of it, isn't there? I mean, sometimes you only have time for a good movie. You don't have time for a good book. I mean, a good book, it pierces our imagination. It fills in a lot of the gaps. You know, when you've read a good book and then you watch the movie, you're like, this stinks. I read the book. The book is much better. It's so deeper. They don't even mention that guy, whoever, you know. I mean, the plot is missing when you watch the movie after reading the book. But sometimes you only have a time for the movie, right? Sometimes you only have the attention span for the movie. You don't have the attention span for an entire book. Well, in the same way, the world doesn't take time to read this. They don't. They don't have the attention span for this. The only thing they can read is you. You're all they have in this world to demonstrate who Jesus is. And so it's important for us to demonstrate the word of God, the bittersweetness of God's word. So as we dig in to chapter 10, again, we are the evidence of the written word. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. If you can put that up there, Janessa, my turkey warrior, or God's turkey warrior. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 to 3. You yourselves are our letter. You, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You know, we're not just making up that we are the living Word of God. We are the living Word of God because Jesus lives in us and he is the Word. Look at that. You are a letter from God to the world. So as we dig into chapter 10, John is going to receive a message and he's literally going to eat it. And it's going to be sweet, but then it's going to be bitterness because the Lord, this message is demonstrating the wrath of God because of sin. It demonstrates really the sweetness of sin and yet the bitterness it leaves behind. And John is told to prophesy over many peoples, nations, kings, and tongues of these prophecies. So you're ready? Let's dig in. Verse 1. And I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. This is a mighty angel. When you look at him, he reminds you of Jesus. We're not going to go through all the verses, but he reminds you of Jesus because of the fact that he is clothed in the cloud. He has a rainbow. We saw in chapter 4 of Revelation, Jesus had a rainbow around the throne above his head. His face was like the sun. Jesus is always compared to having the face of the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He reminds you of Jesus, but he can't be Jesus yet because this is about halfway through the tribulation. Jesus is going to come back in Revelation 19 at the end of 7 years with all of us. We're coming back with him to reign for 1,000 years. So Jesus is not down on the earth. This is literally an angel. But doesn't he resemble Jesus with all of these attributes? You know, how many people know the more you're around God and God's people, you resemble him, don't you? You really resemble him. I love this verse. If you could put up 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I think it's out of order, but verses 14 to 16. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are aroma of death leading to death, those who are not in Christ, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? You know, we are the smell of Jesus. I love a little joke. I said one time I at Global Alliance, it was so cool. I was trying to like how to connect to these multicultural and humor. Humor is different all around the world, isn't it? You know, it's everyone has, you know, if you go up there and hit yourself in the hammer, probably half the place will laugh. The other will say, why is he doing that ridiculous thing, you know? So I'm trying to think of some. But anyway, so I went up there and I said, you know, it smells like Jesus in here. I smell Jesus in this place. And thank God everyone knows the Bible. And they're all like started laughing, you know, because they realize we are the fragrance of Christ, you know, to the world. We smell like Jesus. I love this other verse, 2 Corinthians 2. What's the other verse you have after that? That the more we are with Jesus, we are transformed into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the more we're with Jesus, the more we look like Jesus. The more we smell like Jesus. The more we sound like Jesus. In fact, he says, don't worry about what you're supposed to say. Like Dave, he was thrown into it. No preparation. But because the word lives in David, the word rose up and spoke on behalf of David. When you're with Jesus, you sound like Jesus. You smell like Jesus. You look like Jesus. You know, and so this angel looks like Jesus. But let's, if we have a couple of minutes, pull apart these attributes of this angel because it all has so much symbolism. You know, Revelation, in case you didn't notice, isn't it loaded with symbolism? And you can just go on and on with it. It's like, wow, it means so much. Every little stroke of this book means so much. You know, sometimes we don't have the attention span for everything it means, but it's so rich and wealthy, the Word of God. But let's just look at a couple of things because it says that in verse 1 that he is clothed in a cloud. You know, we remember the cloud that covered Israel through the wilderness. That was the Lord protecting them. We know that the Shekinah glory cloud came down upon the tabernacle and even filled the temple. That was Jesus, the radiance of the Lord. He was clothed in the cloud even before he was manifested as the man Jesus. He's always been. He's the Word of God. So it's the cloud. And also, one last thing. When the flood came, what was it? It was a canopy of water around the earth. Clouds, heavy clouds. And when the flood came, the Lord pierced that canopy. And the flood came, the water, the rains from the waters above, the heavenlies, collapsed on the earth. And here Christ is clothed in the cloud. In other words, he took on all the judgment on himself. He has already bore the judgment of sin upon himself when he was hung on the cross and died for our sins. So the symbolism of clothed in clouds. And then he had a rainbow around his head. You know, we saw that in Revelation chapter 4. The promise. His promises are always yes and amen. You know, one thing I'll note, just mention. In chapter 4, the rainbow was green. Okay? Now it makes no mention about a rainbow being green. It's just the rainbow. And if you ever notice, before things are fully ripened, they're usually green, aren't they? You know, when things are not ready to be picked, they're green. And the Lord was warning in chapter 4 what's about to come. And now the tribulation has begun. It's halfway through. And now we have a fully bloomed rainbow, a promise. You know, the Lord's promises are always yes and amen. That includes his wrath upon mankind for rejecting him. You know? I mean, it's such a significant promise because those who are not in Christ will go to exactly where they're leading themselves to, which is hell. He's trying to save everyone from hell. But this rainbow was green in chapter 4 because the promise had not yet begun. Now we're going to see the Lord's promise is being released. So this rainbow is fully bloomed. You know what it just reminds me of? And I hope I'm not getting too much into the symbolism for you at 10:10 in the morning. But when the Lord is warning you of something, and that promise is green, and he's warning, if you keep moving forward in this sin, I'm showing you a picture of what's going to happen. It's important to heed and react and respond when the rainbow's still green. Because he's warning you. You know, if you're working at a company and you're stealing, embezzling money or stealing from the inventory or whatever you're doing, and he's warning you, look, you don't want to continue like this. Imagine yourself. Let me picture, give you a little rainbow. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to lose your job, okay? You're going to be an embarrassment. You're going to leave a poor testimony. You're not going to be able to support your family. It'll be difficult to get another job. That's the rainbow. Respond while it's still green. It isn't fully ripened yet. It's important to respond when the warning is still green. Because eventually those consequences will be paid. But on the other side, God's promises, yes and amen, when they are the promises to prosper you, not to harm you, when his promises are, I will exalt you. I know what you're in right now, but I will exalt you. I know you have a lousy boss or a lousy company, but if you work with me, I will exalt you. I will lead you to the next job. I will lead you to the better position in life. Wait till the rainbow fully ripens. Justin shared this funny story about a missionary in Papua New Guinea. It's called Pineapple something. But anyway, so when he was in Papua New Guinea, when he first went there, it was like, it's the funniest story. He asked Justin for it. Airdrop it to you or something, but he's there in Papua New Guinea, and the villagers just kept stealing from him, like everything. Like, you know, he would see his glasses on someone else, and he's like, and they said, didn't you used to have glasses? Yeah, I did. They're mine. You want to buy them? I'm like, you know what I mean? They would steal everything. He would find his shirts. If he hung them out to dry, they'd be wearing his shirts. They would just steal, and then try to sell the things back to him, you know? And so he planted a garden of pineapples, okay, wherever pineapples grow on. And they just kept stealing them. He never saw one come to being ripe. And he was saying, you know, they just keep stealing. And then I see them trying to sell them back to me. And it's a funny story. But he said, you know, if they had just realized how good pineapples taste when they're ripened, because they pick them while they're still green. They eat them when they're not good. Okay, a lot of us want to move on God's promises before they're ripened and take things into our own hand and not wait for that rainbow, that promise, to be fulfilled. When Dave was sharing this morning about how, and Sherry, man, just hearing that, I thought the Lord, my window of time had passed. You know, how many of us sometimes feel like that? That was like the perfect situation, and I let it slip by. He wants to set us up again. That promise is still there. You're still breathing. If you don't jump ahead of him and say, Lord, put me in the exact situation that I can finally reap that ripened rainbow that you promised me. I want to harvest all the promises, the yes and amens that you promised me. I want them, Lord God. Maybe before I acted on my own behalf, or I didn't wait for you, or maybe I love the taste of sin rather than your word. Whatever the situation is, that promise is still there as long as you're breathing. And as Jason said, it doesn't always look like the way you think it's going to look. You know, Joseph had a dream. I had a dream. He had a lot of dreams, and no one liked them based on his dreams. And he really believed someday I'm going to be somebody. And I hate to tell you, you're going to bow to me, but he should have left that part out, but he didn't know. And then all of a sudden, where is he? He's in slavery. Where is he? He's serving Potiphar. Where is he? He's in prison. I mean, what happened to the promise? But he believed it. He realized that's a green rainbow, but it's going to be ripened someday. And I'm going to wait until it's fully ripened. In the meantime, I'm going to hold on to what I have. If I'm taking care of Potiphar's house, I'm going to do my best. If I'm working in the prison, I'm going to do my best. Whatever it is, I'm going to do my best, because that rainbow is still there. It's still going to be fulfilled. I believe it. Jesus told all the churches to hold on to what you have. Don't let it go. If the Lord has given you a part of that promise, hold on to it and build upon it. Don't let it go. Don't say, Lord, I was hoping it would happen a lot sooner than this. What happened, Lord? Did I miss my opportunity? What did I do wrong? Well, I'm tired of waiting. I see so many people get dissatisfied with the church because they don't believe that necessarily they are recognized or appreciated for their gifts. But you know, sometimes the Lord has to maneuver. He has to move things around. The Lord's leading us in a lot of different directions and sometimes at the same. But sometimes the Lord has to move someone to a different position before he can move you into that. He's always maneuvering because we're like assets to him. We really are. I mean, he loves us, but we're beautiful treasures to him. And sometimes we need to wait for his timing, you know? Just like Israel had to wait to be brought into the promised land. Not as long as it took them, but he still said, I'm not ready to bring you in to bring judgment into Canaan until the sins of those nations have fully risen to a level that I'm just done. That's when I'll bring you back into the promised land. You know, perhaps the Lord is promising something to you, and you're just waiting. And maybe perhaps you've been in a situation that he was just setting things up, and you've said, you know what? I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to. And what happens is you've just been pulled out of the puzzle, pulled out of that tapestry of what he was weaving you into, you know? We're all one body, you know. We can't operate on our own, in our own strength, in our own motives. He's weaving us in together, you know. And his promise to you is part of someone else's promise, is part of someone else's promise. And it has to fit together, doesn't it? And so this mighty angel. What else does he have? We may only have time to analyze the mighty angel, but it's pretty good stuff, isn't it? I'm kidding when I say pretty good, but his face was like the sun. You know, when you're in the radiance of Christ, you know, Moses leaving that tabernacle enlightened. Like people would just like look at his face and like, oh my gosh, that's scary. He would have to cover it up because of their unbelief. He didn't want to see them. He didn't want to have them see his face start to dim. He wanted them to be astonished by God's glory. But we're told that we don't dim. You realize that? We are the new creation. We don't dim. You don't die out. You're better than those, what kind of lights are they? They just go on and on. You are LED lights. You are just eternally illuminated, you know? And we see that, like that Moses came and his face shined. But we're told that our faces won't dim as Moses's did. Remember Stephen, when he was sharing the word with the religious Israelites, and they were saying they couldn't stand when he was starting to challenge them, but they looked at his face and it was like the face of an angel. Because Stephen had been with Jesus. And imagine when he was being stoned and he looked up and saw Jesus standing in the heavens looking down at him, how much his face was shining then. Kill him! We can't stand this. You know, you are going to be the fragrance of death to some people who are dying. But when you find that one who's ready for living, you are going to be life to them. And finally, the pillars of fire. I mean, that's an obvious one, isn't it? The pillar of fire, the right foot walking through the Red Sea. You know, that pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the Red Sea. Actually, in the Red Sea, he moved behind them because he showed the light for Israel to pass through. But he was dark on the other side to the Egyptian army in chariots and all that were chasing them. But that pillar of fire by night leading them through the wilderness, you know, it's a picture of who Christ is to us, leading us through whatever wilderness you might be going through. Lord, what happened to your promises? I thought I'm heading to the promised land. I'll tell you, the Old Testament, that picture of Israel, if you chicken out and don't cross the Jordan, you know what the Lord did? He said, well, then you're going to have to wait. But I believe the Lord, for the new creation church, he wants to put you in that promised land. He wants to get you where you're meant to be. Sometimes you'll have to wait a little bit for his timing, but he wants you to thrive. Remember, he always talked about the promised land flowing with what? Milk, that's abundance. That's the fat life. Don't you want a fat life? The kind of life that is just, I'm healthy. You know, I got a lot of marrow in my bones. You know, the kind of, like, it's a fat and it's a sweet life. Flowing with milk and honey. That's what he's leading us into. A life flowing with milk and honey. And as this mighty angel demonstrates what being with Jesus is like, he wants you and I to demonstrate who Jesus is, because we are the animated word of God. Think about that. You are the animation of God's word. Isn't that amazing? If no one ever had a Bible, you're the Bible to them. Now, you might say, that's too much pressure. I can't handle it. I don't want that kind of pressure. I promise you, if you start tasting, taste and see. You know, just start feeding on the Word of God. You know, sometimes we have to change our diet. Do you ever start your meal with dessert? You know what I mean? If you do that, you know, sometimes Jill eats ice cream for lunch. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. But I told on. In fact, I'll just say, in Turkey, okay, one time, everyone ate ice cream for lunch. Were you there, Sarah? Yeah, see that? But I ate a piece of bread. I said, no, it's not healthy for you, and I ate the bread, okay? But, you know, but if you're going to eat a nice meal, who would start at the end of the buffet and start eating the dessert? Because it spoils your appetite for the good stuff. You know, sin for all of us might be tasty for a short time. But you know what it does? It sours, it makes your stomach bitter, and you don't want what's really good. We have to start with what's good. Start with the Word of God. If we start feeding on that, you know what happened? Your taste buds change. You start enjoying God more than sin. You start enjoying those who are of God rather than sin. You say, you know what? This is the real living, the real life. This is what my life is all about. This is why I'm still here on earth, to be a letter written on men's hearts, not on cold stone like the law written on tablets, you know? We are the fragrance of Christ. We are the letters from Christ written on men's hearts. You know, as the band comes up, do you have another song? Where are they? Yeah? Okay. You do? Don't? Yeah, okay. Yeah, why not? We discuss these things so much in detail. That's why I came up during the fourth song. That's Justin's fault. He said, you mean during the fourth song? Sorry. But God is fun, isn't he? He's just fun. I mean, don't you just want an informal, like, this is us, and he loves us anyway. You know, he loves us because we're who we are, you know? But, you know, I just, in closing, just a little tidbit about Turkey. It was awesome. You're going to hear about it. But, you know, the living Word, it was just so amazing. Realizing that these people don't have a Bible. Even though the religion refers to a Bible, they don't believe there's any real Bible on the planet. They think they've been altered, adjusted, and so forth. And they don't believe that there is really a tangible word left. And as I think about, wow, that's so fragile to believe that there's no Bible left written. You know, which you could go through apologetics and say, are you kidding me? There's been so many rewrites, more than any other, by tens of thousands, rewrites of Scripture compared to anything else we consider history. This is such a provable historical document. No one can deny the Word of God is true. But convincing them of something that they've been lied to about for sometimes decades, how do you convince them otherwise except just being the Word of God? That's all they're going to see and perhaps ever read, hopefully not. And then as we do our Google Translate and speak, and it comes out into their language saying, Jesus loves you. Jesus created you to be with him for eternity. And they start to read it, and they're like, and suddenly their face changes. You know, it's amazing that you are the evidence that Jesus is living. As Christ is, so are you in this world. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen us in spite of us, because of us, Lord God. You want to demonstrate how mighty you are through weak vessels, as so many from Nicaragua have mentioned, how you use the small things, the weak things, the fools, Lord God. You used me, a clumsy waiter, to carry your wonderful, wonderful word, Lord God. Because you can do anything with anything. And so, Lord, as we finish worshiping you, we thank you for our beloved brothers and sisters and for your truth that thrives in us. In Jesus' name, amen.